Hey, everybody. We got to come up with an actual intro next go around.
I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Yes.
We'll just start out by talking shit, chirping you.
Yes. Chirp, 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 motherfucker. It's the Barn Chirpers pod. We're going to talk pucks. My name's Justin.
I'm Joe.
And we like pucks, so we wanted to start a pucks pod. So
what a better time than playoff time, our favorite time of the year.
Hell of a matchup. Like, some of these teams at the beginning of the season, is there any, you know, before we really jump in here, because what we're going to do today is we're going to have NHL 23 simulate the playoffs and see, you know, what happens. When you look at the field, is there anybody there that kind of jumps out at you as, man, I can't believe they made it?
Honestly, I'm really impressed with Seattle in the second year of existence being here. I mean, they grabbed that first wild card slot in the West. But, you know, really, we know that they weren't expected to be the Golden Knights of, you know, make it to the finals in their first year of existence. Like, the way that they did their expansion draft and the way that this first season last year went, it was set up like, okay, we're building for the future. We have expectations that we should be a new team. Like, we're not necessarily going to win anything these first 3 to 5 years. We're building for the future. But for them to come out and make the playoffs in the first wild card slot, their second year in existence, I'm like, damn, I did not see that coming.
Martin Jones has been a nice little spark there. I know, like, I had him early on in fantasy pucks, and then you scooped him up there for a while and rode that horse.
Yeah, I had him for most of the season. He got hurt. He hurt his hand. Just like a day-to-day thing. It wasn't an IR situation, but I don't remember. It was before our pucks playoffs started that he got hurt, and I dropped him to get another goalie in there. But yeah, he was a hot hand this year too. So their goaltending was solid because Grubauer came back to kind of, I'd say 75% of what he was back in Colorado days. But he's, you know, so he helped along a lot better this year. Martin Jones was good this year. Even, what was that other kid's name that they had in for a few times wasn't too bad. Decord. Is that his name?
Decord.
I think he got a couple of starts and did well too. But yeah, what about you? Do you look at this field and see like a holy crap?
Seattle, definitely. I mean, you know, I had hopes that the devs, you know, my boys, I think we're ahead of schedule. I definitely think we're ahead of schedule, but like the Kraken surprised me. And it's not necessarily, it's because they played well. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, the West is down for sure, but like they earned it. Like it's not like they just kind of lucked into some wins here and there. Like I watched some Seattle games this year and they played really well. And I was like, man, like this isn't this. And it's not like, oh man, we're riding hot goalie into the cup, but it's, we played our way in and earned it. So a tough draw though
that's a whole other conversation to have the playoffs set up. Like so many good teams are going to be done in the first round. So it's, that's a whole other conversation to have, but, I think it'll be, obviously we're going to simulate it today, but I think it's going to be a really fun matchup because they're both like, they have veterans on the teams on both sides, Seattle and Dallas, but such young players. And speaking of your devs too, such young players getting playoff experience. Like that is not only fun for us as fans to see these young players and new faces in the playoffs, but this will play into years down the line, getting playoff experience too, which is also cool as a fan, I think.
So this first matchup here is, you know, we both talked about Seattle already, but they've got the Stars here. In real life, how do you think Kraken versus Stars goes?
I mean, I think that the wait a sec. The actual matchup is Colorado versus Kraken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Colorado won their last game, so they drew. Colorado won the Central. Dallas did not.
I must have looked at a an outdated bracket when I put it together.
Yeah, yeah. So, but so yeah, it'll be Seattle versus Colorado, actually.
All right. Well, I guess we got to start over.
It's fine. Keep it going. Keep it rolling. It's fine.
Hold on.
I mean, yeah, that threw me off too, because I'm looking at the actual. It's Colorado versus Seattle, Dallas versus the Wild, Oilers, Kings, Knights, Jets in the West.
How do I get out of this? Back. Okay. Exit without saving. There's no need to save that. This is all staying
in. Yeah, it's fine. This is good content.
Yes.
Great content. But everything we said about Seattle, I mean, that still stands. While they're not playing Dallas in the first round, that still stands. Everything that we said, like, them getting that wild card slot is impressive for, again, being their second year of existence, to go from I don't know exactly where they were last year. I'll have to look into that. But they weren't anywhere near. They were probably down. They were down in the Pacific last year.
They were very much an expansion team last year, and you know, nobody's going to hold it against them, because that's what expansion teams are supposed to do. But
again, the Knights' first season was lightning in a bottle. Like, that's generally never happening, you know. So what I think is also interesting is that all of the playoff teams in the West had more points than the Tampa Bay Lightning did.
That's crazy.
For Tampa Bay getting the third slot in the Atlantic, all of the West teams had more points than Tampa Bay and the two East wildcard teams of the Isles and the Florida Panthers. So Tampa Bay had 98 points. They got third in the Atlantic. The two wildcard slots, 1 and 2 for the East, New York Islanders with 93 points, the Florida Panthers with 92 points. So every team in the West had, the only team that didn't have over 100 points was Winnipeg, and Winnipeg won the second wildcard slot with 95 points. So everybody in the West had more points than essentially the bottom three East teams, if you will, which is kind of crazy to me, because, you know, we always chirp, everybody chirps the West for being the lesser league, the lesser conference, because I mean, the East has powerhouses. Like, everybody in the East is a powerhouse. I mean, the contenders in the East are powerhouses. You know, we're not talking about Columbus or Montreal at this point. But yeah, so that's kind of interesting to me, that how this year played out. But to that point, I think the West, at least the Pacific Division, even the Central, like Minnesota, Dallas, Colorado, it was a strong West this year, I feel like. I think I'd have to look at the actual stats, but I feel like they did pretty well against East teams whenever they went head-to-head. I'd have to actually look at some. I don't have the stats in front of me. This is great content to talk about stats and not have stats in front of me. But, you know, I'll actually look that up real quick while you're setting that up, the actual playoffs that we're doing.
I noticed that we've got two matchups that are the same last year as they are this year, too. The Oilers and the Kings in the first round, and the Leafs and the Lightning in the first round.
I mean, the Leafs and Lightning is pretty much, you could start every year and just count on that the Leafs and Lightning are going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The way these matchups are. 1, 2, 3. So it's Boston. It's got Florida.
Yes, Boston, Florida.
All these
Carolina, New York Islanders, Boston, Florida, Devs, Rags, Leafs, Lightning.
Oy. Well prepared. Well prepared.
Hey, that's fine. It's all good. No big deal. Whatever. Whatever. It's fine. Okay, so I wanted to say, the Devs, though, I do know this, that they were 28th in the league last year, and they went to being second in the Metro. Like, that is, I don't know how many other times that's happened, but they're like, I want to say they're the one of the only teams to ever go from essentially almost last to a playoff team in 1 year turnaround. Like, it's a fast turnaround.
Well, and not even that. Like, and this is one of the reasons that Boston being so good this year really pisses me off, is we literally, the Devils had the best record in team history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than all three cup teams. And it's just overshadowed because Boston like wrecked everyone.
Boston did wreck everyone. But speaking of the Kraken, yes, they did hand Boston their first home loss of the season this past regular season. So another tip of the cap to the Kraken.
Right. And now, so they draw Colorado. Now we got it right.
It's okay. It's fine. This is good content. Which, you know, I think Colorado has started to figure it out towards the back half of this season.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I didn't have a great feeling. I think I said on one of the other pods, either Gear Freaks or Grease Pole, I'm not sure which one, but when we had this Pucks talk at the beginning of the year, I think I said Colorado was going to miss. My bold prediction was that Colorado was going to miss the playoffs.
Indeed. And
of course, they won the Central, so I was wrong there. But they aren't really the Colorado of last year. No. So it's surprising to me that they still won the Central. But I think it's possible that the Kraken could do some damage in that series. I'm hoping they do, honestly. Like, I would love to see Colorado get bounced.
Well, you know, you didn't look off. Like, at one point early in the season, it looked like they might miss the playoffs. And I mean, they got it together relatively early, and then they really started kind of looking like you said, not Colorado of last year, but Colorado at some point in the season.
Well, they started to get healthy again. Like, McKinnon came back. Rantanen stepped up. What's his name? Arturi Lehkonen stepped up. Produced pretty well. So, but yeah, they just kind of hung around middle ground all year, and then whatever, they turned it on the back half to win the Central. But what's your take there? I mean, we're not really doing picks. That's right. Never mind.
We can, if you want. Like, my gut says Seattle fights, but Colorado wins 4-2. That's what my gut says.
Okay.
I think Seattle comes out and plays tougher than they expect. Seattle has a really good tough defense. That's something we didn't really get into. Big Rig, Jamie Oleksiak,
Vince Dunn.
Yeah, like they got some punishers there, and they've got good young forwards who can score.
The Avs, the Avs have some scorers, obviously, but they don't have, like, Gabe Landeskog has been out all year. They don't have that point getter. They don't have Kadri anymore, who was getting them a lot of points last year. So, you know, I think the Kraken, like you said, I would love to see the Kraken bounce them. I don't think it's going to happen, but I do feel like they're going to give them, I feel like it's probably going to be the Avs in five. I think it's going to be five. So, I think the Kraken's going to come out and win that first game because it's Colorado at home. I think Kraken are going to win that first game, and then essentially, the Avs will take over after that. But I would love to see him give Colorado a fight.
So I hope we're both wrong. I really do, because, you know, there's that part of me that's holding on for Kraken Devs in the finals. But
that'd be great.
Here's the thing. The computer not only disagrees with us, but thinks Colorado is way better than Seattle because it's 3-0 here, and here's game four. Sweep. And oh, the Kraken grab one.
All right.
All right. So moving on to the Wild and the Stars. What do you feel there?
Again, like, I hate, there's a lot of 3-0s in this. The computer thinks there's going to be a lot of 3-0s.
Mm-hmm.
Like every series is like a 3-0.
Yeah, there's two sweeps that we'll get to before.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it just sucks that the playoff setup, it really does. It's not 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5 anymore. So some really good teams are going to get bounced right away. And I feel like the Stars just have more going for them than the Wild do. I think the Wild's defense is going to be a problem. Also, them scoring is going to be a problem. And the Stars have not had any problem all year scoring goals.
No.
Jason Robertson is a 40-plus goal scorer. Jamie Benn is on some nuclear S this year. Like, he's been playing the amount of money that he's being paid finally this year. That first line, because I have them all on my fantasy team, Hintz, Ben, and Robertson have been producing big time. Not to mention Pavelski has always been a threat, and he's been on top of his game this year. And we've talked about it before. Ottinger has been on another level in goaltending too. So to see, he's essentially was Hobby Bulin, or not Hobby Bulin, Hudobin's backup for until last year, if I remember correctly, and then he took over the starting job. So I think the Stars are probably going to, I'm going to go with the computer here. I think it's probably going to look something like that. I'd say probably the Stars in five.
Yeah, I hate it. I really, really hate it. But
I think Minnesota will get one, but I feel like the Stars are just going to score a lot of goals.
To your point, I think this is just a tough draw for Minnesota. I think if they play almost anybody else, they might get out of the first round. I think Dallas is the one team. It's like, yeah, I don't think you stand a chance.
I think if Minnesota played the Kraken or Winnipeg, I think would be a better outcome for them, a better matchup for them. But yeah, playing the Stars, and I think the Wild have. Well, you know, I'm about to say this, and it could work in their favor, actually. I think the Wild have just struggled a lot more than the Stars have this year. And, you know, that could play to their advantage, as anybody's ever said about winning a cup, winning a championship. Like, you have to go through those struggles throughout the year to struggle and persevere through the playoffs. So it could work to their advantage, but I don't know. I just feel like that also, all that struggle can just wear you down. Like, in the playoffs is a whole other animal. Like, we're starting a brand new season, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing of the regular season matters other than how tired your bodies are.
You know?
So to get to that point, Minnesota is a pretty young team, but I think Stars in five.
I reluctantly agree. And I think if they had anybody else back there in net, I think it's a more open discussion. But I think that's the difference, is Ottinger's been on another level. Flower and Gus are great. I think they're outstanding, but I think what's in front of them is the problem.
They're stopping 30 plus shots a game, both of them, and to still have in the twos goals against and, you know, 90 plus save percentage is a testament to how good of goalies they are. But yeah, it's a game of numbers. Eventually something's going in.
So that brings us to our next matchup, Vegas and Winnipeg, and the computer has a sweep for the Jets.
Really?
Yeah.
So Jets sweep, huh? I think the Knights will beat the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't really. So with the West, I haven't really watched a lot of the West because late games, like I'm asleep already, you know? I think the Knights, the only thing that's really, I think the Knights issue would be goaltending. Brassant is not bad. He's a pretty solid tendy. Logan Thompson, I don't know for sure. I don't know if he's off, if he's back from injury, because he carried them through the whole year. I think goaltending will be the issue, really. But at the same time, maybe it won't, because the Knights scored a lot of goals this year. They were on a streak for most of the season where they would score in the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They scored in the first 5 minutes in a ton of games. So the Jets did turn it on towards the end of the year to get in, but I feel like they've also been very streaky throughout the year. So
yep.
it'll just depend on what Jets team we get in the playoffs. That's not really rocket science. I didn't realize that. But I do think this series will probably – this is probably a series that will go to seven. I think Knights in seven.
Yeah, I definitely don't I think there's no way either team sweeps. You know, at worst, I think we're getting six games here. I think it all – I mean, you brought – God, you know, rocket science here – comes down to the goaltender matchup. Hellebuck has been on another level right now. Like, and it hasn't been that way all season, but I think it's the same problem that Flower and Gus face. Like, who's in front of him? If he ends up having like a million shots at him, then well, a couple of those are going to get in, and that's all it takes.
Right, and you know, I guess that's another thing to say in the age that we live in. You know, the tandem goaltenders. But to that point, like, Winnipeg is always like, it's Hellebuck. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, Rittich is his backup. But I believe, because I looked at this the other day, Hellebuck played like 62 of the 82 games. So he was the guy.
Yeah.
You know, so, and whereas if you look at, you know, other teams, I mean, again, so, we'll get to Tampa Bay and Vasilevsky, but like, Hellebuck played literally 98% of the season. And besides Vasi and Shesterkin, I mean, the conversation is tandem goalies. So, like,
mm-hmm.
which guy are you going to get? You know, I feel like, yeah, the rest is probably good too. We've seen that this year. We'll get to the Bs with tandem tendies. But, you know, with goaltenders, when they're on, you gotta like keep them.
Yeah, you
gotta. Otherwise, they're gonna lose their mojo. You know, you're gonna lose the mojo. See, because goalies are weird. You know, that's mm-hmm. like a common knowledge thing in hockey. Like, goalies are freaking weird. So you get them, they get in their head, and all of a sudden, there goes their whole entire game. You know, so yeah, we were talking about Knights and Jets, right?
Yep.
Is that up before I went on a rant?
Yep.
Yeah. So you say the Knights too?
I think Knights and six. Okay. You know, I think Winnipeg can score, get two of them, but I think Vegas has too much, which brings us to our last matchup of the West, the Oilers and the Kings, and the computer has the Oilers in five.
Okay. I do agree with it being the Oilers, but I think that one's going seven and literally this series to me is just who scores last.
Mm-hmm.
Rocket science. There's your John Madden quote for you there. Because these teams are both so super high powered offenses that score a lot of goals. It's just a shooting match back and forth. And while LA definitely, you know, they picked up Korpisalo at the deadline, and this is going to be another conversation that we'll have when Corey's with us about deadline acquisitions that made a difference throughout the year. But while Jonathan Quick is Jonathan Quick, but picking up Korpisalo, I think, was huge for the Kings to kind of shore up their goaltending situation. So if him and Copley can be on, then maybe they can shut down the Oilers. But my gut's going with the Oil. Like, they have been hot since February. I don't think... I'm pretty sure, and again, so prepared, don't have actual stats in front of me, but I feel like they didn't lose since March.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate from what I looked at before. I don't have that in front of me, so don't necessarily quote me, but I'm pretty sure they've been undefeated since March. So they've been on a streak. So I think oil in seven.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think you got McDavid, you got Dreisaitl. Like, I just think it's going to be too
much.
And
the Nuge. Yeah. The Nuge has been nuclear this year, too.
I mean, God bless. I hate this is like the fourth time in a row to bring up, you know, the Tendy competition. But it comes down to Stu's come on here in the last couple weeks for the Oil. As long as Soup doesn't have to see the ice, I mean, maybe.
Just keep Soup out of there. Like, speaking of goalies being weird, like, he got in his head in Toronto, right? Being in Toronto, like, somehow got in his head and he got off his game because he has not been the same goalie at all. Like, he used to be, I would say, a top 10 goalie in the league, and now he's somewhere in the bottom 20, you know? Bottom 30. He's just not the same.
He had a
stew in there.
He had a streak of like 8 games in a row where it made me look brilliant. I picked him up I actually picked him up several times over the course of the season. But like the first time I picked him up, like I had him for a good couple weeks because, like I said, like 8 straight starts with like less than 2 goals against. And he was playing out of his mind. It was like, word. And then suddenly he lets it 6 in, and then the next go around is like 4, and it's like, uh-oh, sieve time. So
there he goes.
There he goes. But that rounds out the West, which takes us to Boston. The Bees take on the Panthers, and the computer thinks it's a sweep.
I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep, 4-1, Boston.
Yeah.
I feel like Florida has been on a streak the last – they had to be on a streak to get in. Mm-hmm. Like they were fighting. So they've done well, and their Alex Lyon came out of nowhere, and he was 6-0-1 in the last 7. So essentially, when they brought him in and gave him the net, you know, they essentially had 7 games of getting points, which essentially got them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So what, 13 points in the last 7 games? Like, that's what got them in. It would have been interesting had they had him throughout the year and not had Bob or, we know Bob is wonderful. I don't think that they're going to be able to bounce the Bees. I think the Bees just have too much.
Yeah.
Too much. And speaking of tandem goaltenders, this is the team where I feel like that actually works. Everything I said earlier, 5 minutes ago, about tenders being weird, they have to be in their flow. Swayman and Ullmark switching off literally every other game, it's been that way all year, no matter what, has done amazing. So I don't think the Panthers can overcome that. Mm-mm. So I say Boston with the gentleman sweep, 4-1.
I agree. Good on the Panthers for turning it on and getting in. Like you said, like, kind of makes you wonder if they forego Bob and Spencer Knight early on. You know, maybe are they higher up and not draw the Bees? But first round specifically for the Bees, like, I don't think anybody could have come in and the Bees were just going to swat them down. Like, the Bees aren't losing anything major until the second round. Like, the Panthers might take one just from being hot from getting in, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, I mean, they might take game one and then all of a sudden, you know,
4 in a row.
It would actually be if Boston is going to go on to win like this, it'd be a good slap in the face, awaken the giant, if you will, to lose game one at home and then just go on a tear, but we'll see what happens. But I just don't think the Panthers have it, if you will. But it is a fun matchup. Last year's President's Trophy versus this year's President's Trophy. That's a fun matchup, just in itself. That's fun.
So our next matchup, we have the Canes and the Isles, and the computer thinks the Canes sweep 4-0. No.
I want to hear your take first, because I'm always going first.
Okay. There's no chance it's a sweep.
No.
It's possible that somehow the Canes eke out a seven gamer, but my inclination is Isles and six. Sorokin's been insane this season, and I don't want to see him in the playoffs. They got a lot of young guns. Too many injuries for Carolina. Svech, what, like a month ago, goes down, and yeah. You already had patches out, and they didn't make any moves. So there was nobody to step in.
That's not true. They brought in Jesse Puljujarvi.
Yes.
But what an acquisition.
Right. With all the names out there, that's who you pull in. But like, I think the Isle, this is the time where the Isles came on hot, and the Canes are definitely on the down. So I think it's Isles and six.
Yeah. So I'm picking the Isles in seven. I do think it's going to go to seven because I feel like Carolina will fight back and push it to seven. But yeah, man, like Carolina went from most of the year being a dominant team. And then, you know, they got patches back for three games or something, and he went back down. Like, that sucks. But that didn't necessarily really affect them, right? Because they were still on a roll. And then I feel like it was only a couple games later, Svech went down. All of a sudden, dude, what's happening? Okay, they did bring in Ghost, too, which was great to put on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
But still not making a move, even before Svechnikov went down, not making a move with that, whatever it was, $10 or $12 million with Patch's contract. Like, you brought in Jesse Puljujärvi for depth scoring. Jesse Puljujärvi, who, listen, he's not the answer, okay? So yeah. To make a playoff push and you didn't bring in any depth scoring, like, terrible, terrible move. And they have, I mean, yeah, they took the Met, but barely. They buy at 1 point mm-hmm. from the Devs,
yep.
Right? So they just did enough to maintain the Met. But if you go back, like, they were getting, like, 1 points at a time. They weren't necessarily winning a lot of games while the Devils were really climbing back because Carolina had such a big lead. Again, man, wasn't really super prepared. Stats. I'm talking about stats. We didn't have all these stats in front of us, but I'm just thinking of these things now. But Carolina had such a lead initially that they didn't necessarily have to win a lot of games towards the back half, whereas the Devils continued to win, right? And they Carolina eked it out by one. So, but Carolina's been struggling. Like, I had Aho, Sebastian, funny, both Sebastian Aho's play for opposite teams here,
yeah.
Carolina Hurricanes and New York Islanders. Carolina's Sebastian Aho, I've had him on my fantasy team all year. And this dude, while he ended up being a point-per-game player, he would score 3 to 4 points in one game and then go cold for 4 to 5 games. It was so mind-numbing. I wanted to drop him so many times because of that. And my point is, you don't have Svechnikov scoring the goals. I mean, who's going to score for you?
Yeah.
Honestly, who's going to score for you? I mean, Burns, they did have, I know this for sure, the Carolina Hurricanes did have the most defensemen scoring for them this year than any other team this year. They had more defense points, or excuse me, more defensemen goals this year than any other team. But you're going to rely on your defensemen to win you a series?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Not going to happen.
So I think they're limping into the playoffs facing a New York Islanders team that had to battle to get in. So, I think the Isles in seven. That was a long-winded answer to say the Isles in seven.
Up next, we got the Rags. I'm sorry. The New York Rangers versus the New Jersey Devils. And the computer thinks it's the Rangers in six.
You first, because this is your team, the Devs.
Bro. It's not out of the realm of possibility that the Rags win, but there's no way it's in six. This goes seven. the rivalry itself takes this game to seven. The Devils are, we mentioned this before, they're the best Devils, technically the best Devils team ever, like on paper, 51 wins. Jackie Hughes almost breaks 100 points, 98 points, most in a Devils season ever.
Had he not been injured those, 20 games almost?
Yeah, like there was a short stretch, like in March, I think, early March, and then there was a stretch, I can't remember.
Earlier. I think it was like November.
Yeah, but yeah, imagine if he didn't, you know? We picked up Timo Meier, who's been great for us, like not setting the world on fire, but the team has still been gelling. Our third line is producing. This team has no quit. It all comes down to, we talked about tandem goalies early. We got Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood. And good Lord, I hope Blackwood does not see the ice. I love the guy, but his time is done as a Devil, I hope. Schmidt is definitely the future. And Vitek has held it down all year for us. I think as long as Vitek plays well, Devs in seven, God, nothing would make me happier than putting the rags down in four. And the last thing I'll say about it is, for as many moves as the Rangers made, I don't think that they got better. I think they only got better on paper. I feel like you would think that they'd go on a tear after those moves, and they didn't. They just kind of, I mean, obviously they still made the playoffs, but like,
sure,
they just kind of
maintained. But they got the third spot.
Yeah, they just kind of maintained. It's not like they surged. It's not like, you know, we beat them a couple times, I think, since the trades. So, I don't know, man. The Rags could win, like I said, based on rivalry alone. But if they do, it's in seven. But my gut says Devs in seven.
I definitely agree with you in seven. I think, I mean, this is kind of burying the lead here when we get to the next one in the East, but I think all of the East games are going to seven besides Boston and Florida, because the teams are just so, so good. The advantage of the Devs and Rangers series is that essentially there's not really any travel time, which is great for them. Like, they can literally sleep in their own beds every single night, which is amazing. Like, there's no travel. Like, that's one of the biggest stressors of being a professional athlete, is the traveling to the next town, traveling to for the next game, right? But they could essentially go home and sleep in their own beds every night. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And we already talked about it with the Devs going from 28th last year to second in the Met, which, again, they could have easily won the Met, but it was such back and forth with the Canes that we already talked about. So I say seven. To agree with you also, the Rangers could win. Shesterkin could come back on to the Shesterkin of last year. He was not the same goalie towards the end of the year, though, which is why the Rangers kind of were streaky, too. They would lose two or three in a row and then win one, but then lose a couple in a row again. So they were kind of streaky. Like you said, adding Patty Kane, adding Vladimir Tarasenko, not that they didn't do anything, but it wasn't when those trades first were made, I was like, damn, the Rangers came to play this year. Right? Yeah. I think I said that in the group chat, but they didn't really, like, they were just kind of middle of the road after the trade deadline. You would think that, they would have really made a push for winning the Met, but they took third. So I hope I'm correct also when I'm picking the Devs in seven, because I think the Devs have more to gain and not necessarily more to lose. Like, they essentially can play with nothing to lose.
Yeah, because it's house money for sure.
They made such a turnaround from last year, right? They're such a young team that even if they do get bounced, and I hope not, because I like them as a team, I despise New York. And these are your boys too, so I'm pulling for that. But even if they do get bounced, there is no shame in that, because they did something that nobody expected with this young squad. Yeah, so I say Devs in seven.
And to hammer, tag on to that last little point before we move on, they're playing with house money. I said this when you know, we started with, you know, anybody who surprises you here. The devs were ahead of schedule, you know, at least a full season ahead of schedule. Just making the playoffs this year was all I was hoping for, to have played this well, and to legitimately, you know, have a go at this thing. We got some veteran leadership in Palat and Hala, and I don't think it's out of the question that that they put the rags down in seven, which takes us to our last East matchup, which is the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Forever,
one you can always bet on: Toronto versus Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs.
Forever.
You know what? I think this Maple Leafs team is a better team that'll be facing Tampa Bay than any other team that has faced them the past several years. Mm. I think Toronto made a ton of moves at the deadline.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this at a later episode with deadline moves, but I feel like Toronto is the stronger team here. And Tampa Bay, while they have Vasi, one of the best goaltenders playing right now, but Vasi was not really Vasi like over the last month and a half.
Yeah.
He was letting in, like, you know, over the course of a week, like 7 to 12 goals, which is totally un-Vasi like, right? Through, so like two or three starts, 12 goals allowed. Like, that's a lot for Vasi.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, not only because I want something else other than Tampa Bay, I'm sick of seeing Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm sick of it now, right? I'm sick of it. I'll talk about visiting their barn at a later episode when playoffs are done, probably. But I'm sick of seeing them in the playoffs. So I want Toronto to get over the hump finally, because it is such just a joke at this point that they always get bounced in the first round. Like, please win a series. But to that point, I think this is going seven as well. But I just think Tampa Bay is possibly tired too. They have played literally an entire season more than any other team in the NHL because of how much playoff hockey they've played. So, Toronto in seven.
Yeah, I agree. I think Toronto ekes it out in seven. I'm trying to set aside my Lightning bias, and also trying to set aside, like, you know, positive thoughts I have of Tampa, because, you know, I hate their guts. But all three of the games against the Devs this season came in like this weak stretch, just like a couple weeks back. So I got to actually lay my eyes on the product, and actually watch them play. And I'm just like, man, they are still so fucking good. Like,
they are.
But I think to your point, I think they're probably just tired. Like, it's a lot of hockey, and to even push to seven games, I think Toronto has just enough. I think, you know, Sammy had these spots. I think that's what it's going to come down to, is if Sammy shows up the way Sammy can show up. I mean, we talked about like 2 weeks ago, twice, Sammy had shutouts going into like the last couple minutes of the game. 6 minutes left against, I can't recall who. I mean, they end up losing the game 2-1, but that's, I mean, still brilliant. They just have the roster, is I guess the point I'm getting at. They have a great defense in front of them who somehow is letting like 30 plus shots a game. Like, I don't understand. You have like,
right.
Luke Shen wasn't getting ice time. You traded for Luke Shen. He doesn't get ice time. What's happening? And they've got a lot of great forwards. I think they have just enough to put away an aging Tampa Bay Lightning, to not belabor the point.
No, yeah, I mean, like, you just to double back on that, like, goaltending is just going to be which Sammy are they going to get? And then, not to mention, if Sammy isn't there, who are they going to go with? Murray is,
yeah, Mr. Mustache.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the other two Jet Alexander has played one game.
Yeah.
And then Joseph Wool.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he played 7 games, was 6-1, but that's not really a big sample size either. So it'll be interesting, but yeah.
Hopefully for the Leafs, Sammy is Sammy. So the computer, this is where we're going to take the turn here. The computer has Winnipeg and Colorado, but we had what would be Vegas and Colorado.
Right.
How do you think Vegas, Colorado goes?
If it does end up being Vegas, Colorado, I think Vegas ekes it out. I just think that they have a more put together team right now than Colorado would. So I would say that one could probably go the length, probably like 6. I'd say probably Vegas and 6, if that was going to be the case.
Yeah. For the record, if it's Colorado and Winnipeg, we've got, the computer says Colorado 1-0. So, yeah, I don't know how to do this second round. Do we just talk about the computer matchups, or do we talk about what they would be?
Yeah, I feel like we just go with what the computer says, since it's not real life. Let's just we kind of made our picks with what we think real life, but I think we just go off of the computer here.
All right, so let's somehow say it is Colorado and Winnipeg. How do you think that goes?
Yeah, probably Colorado, I think, wins that.
Yeah, probably actually relatively handily. Although I guess Winnipeg, if Winnipeg does advance past Vegas, they probably had to get hot to do it.
That's true. I mean, and again, they did kind of get hot to get in. So I think Colorado ekes it out if it is Colorado Winnipeg though. Probably would take 6 games. I think those second round matchups are going to go longer for every, well, you can't go longer than 7 games right. In the East, but I feel like in the West, those second round matchups are going to go the distance to 7s. So probably Colorado in 7, if it was Colorado Winnipeg.
All right. So, and I think we agreed with the computer here, Edmonton versus Dallas.
Oh man. I think Dallas in 7 for that one. I think they have better goaltending. And I mean, that would end up being a shootout match as well, but I still feel like that would go 7.
All right, I agree. Over to the East, it's the Bees and the Rags.
If that was the case, still Bees, that would probably go 7 as well.
Yeah, hard to disagree. And then last but not least, Canes and Leafs.
If it was Canes and Leafs, oof, I mean...
A lot has to go right.
A lot would have to go right for that. But yeah, if the Canes got that far, that one, you know what? My gut would still say 7. But if Toronto actually did beat the Lightning and got out of the first round, I feel like they could sweep the Canes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like momentum, it would be... I'll say this. If it was Toronto and Carolina in the second round, I think Toronto, again, in the gentleman's sweep 4-1.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be a Caps situation in 2018. They finally got over the hump and beat Pittsburgh, and then they handled the Vegas Knights 4-1. So I think it'd be the same kind of situation.
Yeah, I don't know that I can disagree. I mean, the Canes would have to put the Isles down, they would have had to get it together, but would they have had to use all their gas to do it is the question.
Right.
And like you said, I think Big Mo is obviously on Toronto's side getting over to, like, that's monumental. So yeah, I think I'll give the Canes one more game. I'll go Leafs in 6. So let's see, the computer had the Avs in 6, or I'm sorry, okay. Avs in 7, Leafs in 7 as well. But now it's down to Edmonton and Colorado in the West.
Oof. Well, that was the actual from last year. That was the actual West final last year. That's a seven gamer.
Yeah.
And I'd give it to Edmonton.
Man,
Edmonton in seven.
We've talked a lot about Toronto not being able to kind of get over the hump, but I think we got to have that same discussion about Edmonton, right? Like,
yes, for sure.
If they
finish your thought.
If they put themselves in this position again to get, you know, this far into the conference finals, they got to do it, right? Like, you have to at least get to the damn cup if you have arguably, possibly, inarguably the best player in the game currently.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't really argue. I mean, yeah, it is argued, but yeah. Yeah, I feel like you have to get over the hump too. You have to, because they've been good enough for the last handful of years to get into those playoff positions, but then they're either getting to the West final, getting bounced. I think they've, again, stats, guys. We'll be more prepared with stats when we're actually, you know, thinking about doing the next episode. But they've essentially been bounced in every stage of the playoffs over the last couple of years. So I think you're right. Like, they have to get the monkey off their back too. They have to at least get to the cup final. Otherwise, if they don't, I feel like something would have to change, right? A GM might get fired, a coach might get fired, mm-hmm. Or some, you know, we might have to cut some bait and trade some players for something else, a mini rebuild, if you will. I don't know if it's necessarily that far, but I feel like you're probably onto something with they have to get the monkey off their back too.
Well, so far the computer wholly disagrees because it's 3-1 Colorado. Let's see if they can put them away here. Yeah, they did. And then in the East, it's Toronto and Boston.
Oof, if that was the case, man, it's definitely going seven. That's a hell of a matchup. I feel like Toronto does not beat Boston, though.
Nah. Who does? You know what I mean? Like, I think it can.
Honestly.
I think it can happen. The Devs played the Bees surprisingly well this season. So I think we could give them fits. The Isles, maybe, you know, Tampa is never out of the question, but
not until they're actually out.
Right. Right. But I just don't think Toronto's consistent enough to get over Boston. Toronto really needs some help from the other squads to like not even have to play Boston.
Yeah, honestly, if they didn't have to play Boston at all, it would be if Toronto can get past Tampa Bay and somehow Boston gets bounced by the Florida Panthers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be their best case scenario. If that did happen, Toronto could definitely go on to the cup final 100% because they would play so it's Colorado, Boston, in this setup. I'd still give it to Boston probably in six from what seems to be going on in the computer simulation.
Yeah.
But if, back to my thought. Yeah. If Florida somehow bounced Boston, then and Toronto got past Tampa, no doubt that they would go to the cup final. Cause I think they could bounce Florida. They could bounce Carolina or New York Islanders. Yeah. That would be interesting. But yeah, I think, well, you said best case scenario, they don't have to play Boston at all.
Yeah. They've given the Leafs have given the Devs trouble all season. Like I can't remember. At best it's 2-1. I think we beat them early in the season when we were on the tear. And then I remember the Leafs ended the streak like with a 1-0 win or something. And then some like a couple weeks ago lost like 2-1, I want to say. So I think Toronto actually matches up well with almost every team in the East except Boston.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, this will be later episode of deadline acquisitions, but man, they stacked. Like they acquired so many defensemen. They acquired so many players that they can't even dress everybody every single game. That's how many pieces they acquired. other than goaltending. They didn't do anything about goaltending. So we'll see how it goes. But this would be interesting though. Colorado versus Boston, if that ended up being a matchup, I'd be curious to. Well, we're seeing it right now, simulation wise.
Yeah, simulation says it's 3-1 Colorado. I know.
Yeah, that's. So Colorado won?
Yeah, Colorado won 4-1. So no.
They're saying. No. Yeah, that's. You're wrong. Wrong, NHL 23.
Sorry.
That the only way that would happen is if, you know, all of Boston's series went 7 games and guys got injured.
Yeah.
Like the big pieces. And I'm saying like
Pasta.
Omark and Swayman got injured and they have to use like an AHL goalie. That wouldn't happen. But it was fun. It was fun to go through it.
Pasta's been on one too. Like, again, you hate to give the bees respect, but this is one of the few times where, like, if they win out, like, obviously I'm going to be mad because my boys didn't make it. But, like, a season like this, yeah. I mean, the only right thing is for them to win. Like,
yeah, I mean, they literally made history.
Yeah.
So it kind of that'll be the interesting thing. Again, we're not it's not rocket science here. Call me John Madden for a moment. If they don't win, it's a failed season. If they don't win the cup, it's a failed season.
Absolutely.
Because you did all of this and you blew it
mm-hmm.
in the most important time of the year. So what did it mean? Absolutely nothing. You spent a bunch of money to get some pieces. And you didn't win the cup. So you got to win the cup. It'll be interesting to see if they do, because if they do, like, well, yeah, it makes sense. If they don't, I will be like, dude, sitting with popcorn. Like, I'm here just for the comments. You know what I mean? I'm here to see what happens now. Like, you know, what happens to that team? So I think, for me, just in general, like, this playoffs will be very exciting because, you know, we got some new blood in the playoffs. We haven't seen Winnipeg in the playoffs for a couple of years. The Kraken obviously have never made the playoffs. That's fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing Dallas, this version of Dallas Stars in the playoffs, I think is exciting to me. And to see the Devs, is exciting. Everybody else is kind of normal, like we get every year. But those pieces are definitely exciting to see.
And to close it out, two things. Number one, if the Bees lose, I think it all also to you're 1,000% right. It's cup or bust for them, but. It'll be interesting to see who is the one who can put 4 games in a row together, or just 4 games together to beat the Bees. So it'll be interesting to see who's able to do that, and do they become the favorites? Because, again, I think that just kind of depends on where in the tree that happens.
Right.
Because I could see the Avs beating the Bees. It's definitely not a 4-1. That's a 7 gamer. Like you said, like some things had to go wrong for Boston to, you know,
get to that point. Yeah.
But it's all about the when. And then to your point, like if they lose, is it Pittsburgh? Like now Pittsburgh didn't make the playoffs, but they missed the playoffs for the first time in 16 years. And it's like immediately everybody's gone. Just gone.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Just so yeah, it's I think there's a lot of I think there is a lot of implications that'll happen after this playoffs is done, which is great that we're starting this Barn Chirpers podcast at the right time, because there'll be a lot to talk about when in the off season for this specifically the playoff teams. I just feel my mind is going right now with all the implications of all these teams in the offseason, because obviously there can only be one. John Madden again, there can only be one winner. So depending on where those pieces fall, right, could have a lot of implications on these teams. Like, I guess to kind of, in the closing statement, if you will, cup or butt. Well, for Toronto, they just have to win a round. I think that's successful, right?
Yeah.
If they get out of the first round, that's success. So if they do that, probably not much will change. New Jersey getting however far they get, I think no matter – sorry, not even going to put New Jersey in that because they've already – they're playing with house money, like you said. Boston, if they don't win the cup, huge implications.
Yeah.
If Colorado doesn't – I think if Colorado doesn't get back to the cup final, there probably isn't necessarily that many implications for it, but it's more so like, yeah, we didn't have our team, you know. But Edmonton, if we mentioned, if they don't get to the cup final, I think there's implications there of you know, what's going to happen with this team. I guess there's really, honestly, now that I really think about it, there's really not that much. It's those three
yeah,
that are really the implications. Other than that, there's not really that much. So I lied. There's not really, I think everybody else is kind of like, yeah, you know,
you liar, sir.
I lied. I totally lied. It's only, and I mean, this is just my opinion, but Edmonton, Boston, and Toronto, that's it really, I think.
Well, more to come on the Barn Trippers pod where we love pucks, yeah. And so we're going to try to get you to love pucks too. So
hopefully,
yes. You want to? Well, we don't really have a sign off yet. We'll come up with that stuff later.
Yeah, we don't. So yeah, yeah.
Talk soon ish.
Talk s get hit. I don't know.
Ooh, I don't hate that. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Bye.
We'll figure it out.